Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Remember in our last broadcast, I shared with you that the stories which Muhammad copied from the Bible and he inserted and repeated throughout his Quran does not make lots of sense, because obviously it's missing so much information. He will give you bits and pieces from here and there and mix them all together in a weird system. And I also shared with you that not only the Quran contradicts the Bible, but the Quran contradicts the Quran. And all what we need is one contradiction, and that would destroy the entirety of the Quran, as Muslims claim it to be the perfect word of Allah. Today we will move on in Quran chapter 10 to learn about a very huge contradiction in the Quran. And I know Muslim scholars are so smart to do everything they can to defend the Quran, to defend Islam, so they will fabricate some interpretation, even as you listen to the original scholar's interpretation. It does not make any sense, because what they're saying is not even logical. If they can use half of that intelligence to learn about Islam without the glasses of Islam, they would have left Islam long time ago. But they're so smart to do everything they can to defend the Quran, to remove the errors of the Quran and the contradiction from the Muslim naive, gullible mind. So without further ado, I would like to take you to the two important questions for today, which are, did Pharaoh drown or did he not? And did he believe in Allah, the God of Moses, or did he not? This is what we read in Quran chapter 10, beginning from verse 90. Before I read to you that passage, I would like to read to you my bold statement, which we inserted just before verse 90, which stated, Pharaoh did not drown, but became a Muslim by believing in Allah. Remember in our last broadcast, we said that all the prophets were Muslims and all the people were Muslims. I mean, I'm talking about literally from Adam to Muhammad, every prophet and every messenger and all the true Jews and all the true Christians were Muslims. Now we found that Pharaoh himself also was a Muslim. Continuing with my bold statement, this contradicts Quran chapter 28 and verse 40, which clearly teaches that Pharaoh drowned as an infidel. See also verses 50 of Quran chapter 2 and 136 of Quran chapter 7 and 103 in Quran chapter 17. I hope and I pray that this study will be a great lesson for us to use to destroy the idea that the Quran is the perfect word of God, as Muslims claim all over the world. Here are the words of Allah. Quran chapter 10, verse 90, we read, we brought the children of Israel through the sea, so Pharaoh and his hosts followed them insolently and with enmity until when he was about to drown, he said, I believed that there is no God but him on whom the children of Israel believed, and I am of the Muslims. Verse 91, now and indeed you disobeyed before and you were of the Vandals. Verse 92, so today we will deliver you with your body that you may become a sign to those who come after you, and surely most people are unaware of our signs. Verse 93, and indeed we settled the children of Israel a good settlement, and we provided them from the good things, so they did not disagree until the knowledge came to them. Surely your Lord judges between them on the resurrection day in what they were differing. Once again, let us look at Quran chapter 10 and verse 90. And we here is Allah, brought the children of Israel through the sea. Allah is talking about the crossing of the Red Sea of the children of Israel by Moses. So Pharaoh and his host followed them insolently and with enmity until when he was about to drown. He here is Pharaoh. So until Pharaoh was about to drown, he said, that is Pharaoh, I believe that there is no God but him on whom the children of Israel believe, and I am of the Muslims. Now, any person with logic or common sense, when he read that verse in the Quran, automatically will figure out that here we see Pharaoh made a plea out loud. After all, it is written in the Quran, and he became a believer in the God of Moses, and he became a Muslim. This is the conclusion of any person with logic or common sense who will read that one verse will come to the conclusion and will answer our first question. Yes, Pharaoh believed in Allah and he became a Muslim believer. But when you go and read the interpretation of the Muslim scholars, they will tell you something completely different. So when Allah said, he said, the Muslim scholar will tell you, no, he did not actually say it. Now, we do have the interpretation of that verse by the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari and Qurtubi, which go in lengths to tell you how you say every word in the Arabic language, how you pronounce it, how it was read by different ways and different meanings and different this and different that. By the time you read half of the writing about the words of the verse, you already forgot what verse you are reading the interpretation for. You will literally scratch your head and ask yourself, what verse was I looking at? I think they do this on purpose so the Muslim naive who do not know too much about the verse of the Quran will quit reading the writings and they just move on to something else. Now, on the other hand, you can go to the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Al-Jalalain, and he made it so short and so sweet to the point he just repeated the verse, adding about the mud being shoved in Pharaoh's mouth by Angel Gabriel so he will not say the words which we just have read. That he believed in Allah, the God of Moses, and he became a Muslim believer. So I'm going to read to you the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Ibn Kathir, which is halfway between the short answer of the great Muslim scholar Al-Jalalain and the long ending interpretation of both of Al-Tabari and Al-Qurtubi. And notice, when we read the verse, we do not have the information which Ibn Kathir is giving us to the verse. What Ibn Kathir does, as usual, he goes back to the Bible and finds the missing information from the Quran, and he will add it as if it is his own words to help the naive Muslim readers to understand the story of the Quran. What the verse said, and we brought the children of Israel through the sea. That is all what we know about the first portion of that verse. How he interpreted that in his writing, Ibn Kathir said, the children of Israel, when they left Egypt with the leadership of Moses, peace be upon him, and it was said they were 600,000 fighters, not counting the rest of the people. Excuse me, Ibn Kathir. Where did he come up with the numbers that there are 600,000 fighters with Moses? Did we see this anywhere else in the pages of the Quran as the story of Moses was repeated so many times? The answer is no. Was this information one of the saying of Muhammad in the Hadith? The answer is no. Where did Ibn Kathir come up with that number, 600,000 men? Oh, he actually went to the book of Exodus and he read the information from Moses' writings. Then Ibn Kathir said the Hebrews borrowed from the Egyptians lots of gold, so they came out with it. That's why Pharaoh was angry at them. Excuse me, one more time, Mr. Ibn Kathir. Oh, you great Muslim scholar, how did you know that when the Hebrew people, the children of Israel, left Egypt, they took gold and silver and clothes from the Egyptians? Do we read this anywhere in the Quran? The answer is no. How did you come up with this information? Once again, Ibn Kathir read the book of Exodus and he copies the information which his prophet forgot to steal from the Bible years earlier. Then he said, because Pharaoh was angry and he was upset, he sent to all the city and he gathered all the soldiers from all over his land and he ride behind them in one of the greatest number of soldiers because what Allah is planning to do with them. Once again, where he come up with this information. That piece of information does not even exist in the Bible. He thinks that Pharaoh knocked at the doors and sent his people to knock at all the doors of the Egyptian. Please come and help me so we can bring back the Hebrews. What a great imagination. This may happen with Muhammad while he was living in Mecca or Medina. You know, send people to call on the men to gather to go to invade some village or some community. But that's not what happened in the Bible. Pharaoh was a great king. Muhammad was just a simple invader. And even when he had the thousands of followers, he was still an invader. You cannot compare a great king like Pharaoh with some savage 6th century Arab invader like Muhammad.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
Amazingly, Ibn Kathir knows what time exactly when Pharaoh and this huge number of soldiers met with Moses. Ibn Kathir said it was at sunrise, early in the morning. That's when the Jewish people saw Pharaoh and his soldiers coming, and that's when they cry out to Moses, surely we will be caught. Once again, we ask the question, how did Ibn Kathir know this information? The answer is very simple. He went back to the book of Exodus, chapter 14 and verse 24. Now, these are not just simple information somebody can guess. You have to know the Bible. Ibn Kathir read the book of Exodus to interpret the verse of the Quran, which does not mention anything. See, all of this information I shared with you is about to interpret the verse, and we brought the children of Israel through the sea. How in the world you can come out from these words, all this information, unless you read in the book of Exodus? I have no other answer for you. Unless Muslims believe that Ibn Kathir was another great prophet who came hundreds of years after Muhammad to give us more revelation from Allah, that is the only option we have. Otherwise, he was just stealing information from the Bible to help the Muslim to understand this missing information from the Quran. When the companion of Moses asked him for how he will save them, Ibn Kathir said that Moses said, I was commanded to do that and my Lord will guide me. That's when Allah ordered him to strike the sea with his rod. And the sea was broken as two great mountains. And there in the sea, there were 12 roads, 12 streets, 12 highway, and Allah ordered the wind. So the bottom of the sea was dry, and the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. Wow, I wonder, were these roads one lane or two lanes? I mean, this is so stupid. And Muslims believe that Ibn Kathir to be a great Muslim scholar? Anyway, Ibn Kathir continued and said, when the last one of them came out of the sea, Pharaoh and his soldiers were on the other shore of the sea, and he had with him 100,000. And when he saw that, he decided to retreat back to Egypt. So Angel Jibril came with his horse, and he walked next to the horse of Pharaoh. And Angel Jibril crossed the Red Sea, and the horse of Pharaoh followed him. Pharaoh did not know what to do. He was actually frozen. And he told his soldiers, the children of Israel have the right for the sea more than us. And they all followed them. And angel Michael forced everyone, the last one of the 100,000 soldiers of Pharaoh, to follow them into the sea. And as they were about to get out of the Red Sea, Allah the Mighty One ordered the sea to return on them. So not one of them was delivered or saved. And the waves went high and low above Pharaoh and all his soldiers. He got so sick and he's about to die. And that's when he said his statement, I believe that there is no God but him on whom the children of Israel believe, and I am of the Muslims. Once again, we ask the question, where did Ibn Kathir come up with all this wonderful information? Because it is not anywhere in the Quran nor in the Bible. And that is why I say in Islam, there are no scholars. There are plenty of fabricators, those of the old years, or even those who try to fix the Quran today for the gullible Muslim believers. Now we ask a question. Did Pharaoh really believe in Allah? Did Pharaoh become a Muslim believer? Not really. Why? Let me tell you why. In the short answer given by the great Muslim Al-Jalalayn, he said, when Pharaoh was about to drown, he said the statement, I believe that there is no God but him on whom the children of Israel believe, and I am of the Muslims. And he repeated that statement. But Jibreel quickly carried from the bottom of the sea mud, and he shoved it in his mouth so he will not be heard by Allah, that he will not be saved. Similar to that, these words, we read from Al-Tabari that Ibn Abbas, the first cousin of Muhammad, said that Muhammad said, when Allah causes Pharaoh to drown, he said the same statement, he believed in Allah and he became a Muslim. So Gabriel said, O Muhammad, have you seen me when I took from the mud of the bottom of the sea and I shoved it in his mouth? Because I was afraid that may the mercy of Allah would have come to him. And the same story is repeated over and over again by different people. Al-Tabari also stated that Angel Jibreel continued to put the mud in his mouth because he was afraid that he may will say, there is no God except Allah, and Allah will have mercy on him. Are you kidding me? Did Pharaoh say it or did he not? I mean, anybody open the Quran chapter 10 and go to verse 90, you will read, and Pharaoh said, he said, I believe there is no God but him on whom the children of Israel believe, and I am of the Muslims. How can Allah say in the Quran that Pharaoh made that declaration of faith when at the same time Muhammad is telling us that Jibreel told him that Jibreel shoves the mud in his mouth because he was afraid that he may will say it, and if he will say it, Allah will forgive him and Allah will give him his mercy. If the Jibreel of Muhammad was a true angel, we know that he would be very joyful to see any person to repent before he or she dies. And that is a great evidence that Muhammad was working with one of the devils, not with the angel Jibreel, which we know of from the Bible. And Imam Ar-Razi said, how can Allah, with his glory, will order his angel Jibreel to forbid him from becoming a believer? If Jibreel did it on his own, and Allah did not order him to do so, that will not fit with the words of Jibreel, which we read in Quran chapter 19 and verse 64. And let me read to you what Jibreel said there. In Quran 19:64, we read, we do not descend except by the command of your Lord. To him what is between our hands and what is behind us and what is between that. Notice here, Jibreel is telling us that he does not do anything by his own choice or by his own will, but he only does what Allah asks him to do. So now, will Allah ask Jibreel to shove mud in the mouth of Pharaoh? See, he will not make the statement, which we all know that he made it, because it is written in the Quran. He said it, and we know it, but somehow Allah did not hear it. This is not interpretation, my friend. That is a simple fabrication. And if we read the rest of the verse, not only we know for sure that Pharaoh believed and became a Muslim, but Allah delivered him. Allah saved him. In verse 92, so today we will deliver you with your body that you may become a sign to those who come after you. And surely most people are unaware of our signs. He said the statement of faith. He became a believer in Allah and he became a Muslim. And Allah delivered him, saved him by his body. So the answer for our second question from Quran chapter 10 and verse 92, we know for certain that Pharaoh did not drown. But on the other hand, if we go to Quran chapter 28 verse 40, we read, so we seized him, that is Pharaoh, and his troops, so we cast them into the sea. So see how was the end of the unjust. How did Pharaoh die? He died drowning in the water. Did Allah save him by his body? No. Did he die as a Muslim believer? No. He died as unjust. And the word unjust in the Quran fit perfectly with all those who spend eternity in hell. So here are my questions. Did Pharaoh believe in Allah or did he not? Did he drown or did he not? And the answer is yes and yes. That is exactly the answer. He drowned and he did not drown. He believed in Allah and he did not believe in Allah. And believe me, Muslims can make up any fabrication to try to get themselves out of that hole of contradiction in the Holy Quran. And I'm sorry, there is no way out. Any person with logic and common sense from reading these words in Quran chapter 10 verses 90 to 93 will come to the same conclusion that Muhammad did not know what he's talking about and the Quran contradicts the Quran. Once again, a simple reading to the book of Exodus will show us that Pharaoh did not believe in God. Pharaoh did not become one of the followers of the religion of Moses. He was never a Muslim, but he drowned like the rest of his soldiers. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.